Today on Soundtrack Alley, Tim Benson and I will be discussing the furtherance of the Resident Evil franchise, with this podcast being released on the day of the new movie. Also, facts on the original film and game. Enjoy! Tim, we've come to our first movie release for the year 2017. Resident Evil, The Final Chapter, comes out today in theaters. I thought it'd be nice to discuss the original film and game franchise as we go about this podcast.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on again. New movie comes out today, The Final Chapter. Hopefully they stick to that. I love the movies, but, you know, that's good. Final Chapter's good. And then also this week we saw the release of Resident Evil 7, the game.
Yes.
Which is a return to both of these, both the movie and the game, are kind of a return to the original.
Yeah.
The Final Chapter movie revisits the original mansion from the movie. Some of the all the cues are there for that final scene. You get the tunnel, the laser tunnel from the original film. And then Resident Evil 7, the game, is a complete shift back to that survival horror of the original Resident Evil game. So, that would be great to talk about the first movie and first game. So,
yeah. I found that with one of the notes I had on the film, in the film for Resident Evil, after returning to the laser hallway, they find that the bodies have vanished. And it's a direct reference to the game, to which the bodies will vanish if you leave and then re-enter an area. And so Kaplan's lines draw attention to this. And like in the games, after something is switched on or off, something else will happen later. And that happened in the movie. Like, they would pull a switch and then you would see this different scene to where something unlocks or opens, and maybe zombies will come out of that.
Well, the editing for the movie was just like the game, where you'd be in, you know, hallway A and you'd hit a switch and nothing happens, and the game would cut to a different section and a door would open and a monster would be released, and as the player was unaware. And they did that in the movie and it was great. You know, it just, like, the movie is flawed. Definitely.
It is.
But it hits all the cues.
Yeah. It actually holds true to the games in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was the thing with the research that I did, was when they even had the actors prepare for the film, they had them play the games.
Yeah.
To be able to get an idea of what they were doing, and some of them didn't know if they could complete it in time. And so they had video copies made of people beating the games and then watching it.
Yeah.
And that was my first experience with Resident Evil, the game.
Same here.
Because a friend of mine would record the whole game, but as a story.
Okay.
Like, he would record it, like, doing all the right things to get you to the goal of the ending of the story. And we'd watch it as kind of like a movie.
Yeah, and you're talking the first game?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't have a video like that, but I had a friend who, his younger brother, I went over to his house one day and his younger brother was playing it, and I went in. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm in there, like, it's dark, of course, because it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm in, like, junior high or high school, I don't even remember. And his brother's playing it, and I'm just watching him play a video game, which sounds really dumb, but that's what you used to do.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying. Like, it was a terrifying game. So I, of course, started playing it right away, and I've played most of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe I missed one or two, but I've played... Nope, no, I played them all. okay. Except as far as, like, Resident Evil 1 through 6. Mm-hmm. They've obviously made a ton of offshoots, and but the core games, I always pick them up.
Yeah, and I found it interesting that the presidents of Capcom, Japan, and America made cameos as zombies in the film.
Well, yeah, just like just like Walking Dead, like there's so much potential to put people in, and so.
Yeah, and originally they were gonna make the film PG-13.
Yeah.
And yet, they knew that they needed to change it to be rated R, for just content and zombies and stuff like that. So, I like the fact that the references for stars.
Yeah.
From the first game, they even tried to have some of the characters from the games tie into the movie, such as in Resident Evil 2 or the Apocalypse movie. They had Jill Valentine show up, which was great because you're fully engaged.
Well, yeah, it's really amazing how well the movies hit cues from the game. Like in the game, you walk up to the desk and hit X, and then you view the paper, and there's, you know, this headline. And then in the movie, they somehow pull off that same feeling, like the character walked up to the desk and hit X.
Yeah.
But it's seamless, and only people who played the games would realize something happened.
Yeah.
Everyone else just thinks normal movie. So it was really cool that they were able to kind of seamlessly do that. So
yeah, I found it interesting with the, like, the characters Alice and then Spencer. They were fake.
Yeah.
I mean, they were fake husband and wife, and in the movie, and it had reference to the game, the mansion being called the Spencer Estate.
Mm-hmm.
One of the founders of the Umbrella Corporation was called Oswell Spencer.
Yeah.
So you have tons of these game references that reveal themselves in the movie. I just really found it more appreciative than what people may have looked at it.
Yeah. I think for me, Resident Evil was the first video game that really took itself serious and told us a real, fully fleshed out story. And obviously the technology is what dictated that they had the ability to do audio video clips and short movies and film, and to the point where now games are practically all movie, you know, and then you go play some arbitrary thing, but you're sitting there watching a movie. I think Resident Evil 6 opens up with, I don't know how long, but it's a pretty long cutscene of just video.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Resident Evil, the first game, it makes sense that it adapts to a movie well because it's such a cinematic franchise to begin with.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And what did you think of, say, Mila Jovovich's character?
I think it's good. You know, it's nice that they have the one character through the whole franchise, all five movies.
There's six.
Six? Is it six? Yeah. Okay, well, however many there are. I've been saying five the whole time, but they don't number them. You know, it's just Resident Evil blank. But yeah, I mean, you have the same actress. You have a lot of the same production crew. The director, Paul Anderson.
Paul Anderson,
Yeah. He's either been, I think he's written all of them. And he's directed most of them. So you have a lot of continuity. Definitely don't have that continuity when it comes to the music. She does great. You know, again, she pulls off some really campy stuff without it being too bad.
Yeah, and also makes it look fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, watching like, first movie with, like, the laser tunnel. Like, oh, man, that was terrible. I feel bad for those actors who have to... had to do the laser tunnel, so
yeah.
She brings a little class to the whole thing. So
yeah, exactly. I found that all the minor cuts and bruises that she gets are real.
Yeah.
They're not put on. She does a lot of her own stunts. In a sewer scene, she right hooked Paul in the face, giving him a black eye. And by the end, she hurt about 3 cast and crew members because she did all her own stunts.
Yeah.
They had a real problem with the dogs in the film because they kept on wanting to lick and eat the meat off of them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. There's one shot of Alice's eye close up near the end of the film, and this is even to a direct reference to the original game.
Yeah.
To where you see these close shots and these looks of surprise or terror even. So I found it really unique that the first film and the game coincide so well.
Yeah.
Even though they were made
years. Yeah, I mean, years apart. 96 to 2002.
Yeah.
Well, it's in 6 years, but what did you think about the music?
The music
like
was very, very good for the movie. The game, it's very surreal and very quiet.
Yeah.
Like, you have... It's best to play the game at dark
well,
because then you get the full effect. But the game music is not very memorable. You don't have any main themes. You have all this ambient music, and you get a lot of sound effects, more or less, because it enhances that feeling of, like, it's quiet and you're by yourself.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree with you on one little part on that, is that there is a theme to the original game, but it's just the opening.
Oh, yeah.
Once you start playing, and I was thinking about this a lot, like, how challenging it would be as a composer to write music for a game that can just stop. Like, you can be playing Resident Evil, and you can just decide to hang out in this room for 30 minutes and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that music has to just keep...
It keeps going.
Yep. But the second you turn around and look at a window, it has to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how challenging would it be to write music that can shift so rapidly to so many different variables? I can't even imagine.
And it probably is put in with like a computer program to where
it has to flow from one to the other. You open that door, the music playing has to instantly change to the new setting without it being jarring. So I really kind of admire the composer Masami Ueda. I'm probably mispronouncing.
No, that's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Pretty famous composer in Japan.
In fact, he's done a lot of the game soundtracks.
Yeah.
Because even for 6, he did the game soundtrack for 6.
So when they made the first game, you know, he was a known entity and it just brought something. And the reason I say I disagree with you is I watched the Resident Evil movie this week, and Manson's theme for the movie comes on, and I instantly felt like I was playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just instantly, just brought me back to that game. So I feel like there is that central theme.
Yeah.
To the game,
I
but
just
it's
haven't
not
played
something,
the game forever.
And I play it all the time.
And
like, I want to play it right now. so yeah, watching that movie, the opening parts to the movie where it's just music, just instantly brought me back to the game. And the composer being the same, or, you know, being
It was Marco Beltrami who actually did the score. Marilyn Manson was brought on to add additional cues to the film for adding certain action.
Yeah.
And
he but he
like
cut
that.
The he cut the opening theme to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's Beltrami probably made it better, but Manson brought that just sheer chaotic energy to it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I look, Beltrami is all over the place. Like, he has done so many movies, just dominates the horror genre.
Or even
and action.
Paranormal, like, because he did Hellboy.
Hellboy, iRobot, the Scream movies, one of the Crow, I don't remember which one, Salvation, I don't know which one that is.
Yeah.
Nominated for 2 Academy Awards, I saw.
Yeah, so he's really well-known in his genre for, like, horror scores or even that element.
Yeah, and but I just thought it was really odd, his 2 Academy Award nominations, 3:10 to Yuma and Hurt Locker. Like, completely outside of his norm. Like, maybe you should stick to these, like, high drama movies. Like, bail on the horror genre. But yeah, I read some mixed reviews on Manson's contribution. Overall, I think he gets some pretty good credit, and I like it. I'm a Manson music fan. So it was cool to listen to that while, you know, to know he was in that. So
yeah, one thing I've always found with the games as well as the movies is that they've brought out the full villainous way about the Umbrella Corporation. Even on so many things, there's all these ads in the game for the Umbrella Corporation. You see it up on billboards, you see everything about the Umbrella Corporation. And then in the movie, you get that as well, and it becomes a whole nother animal, because it's the sinister organization that kind of takes over the government.
Yeah.
And that's through the whole movie series as well.
Yeah, the Umbrella. Very, Terminator feel to Umbrella. So
yeah, also I found with the liquors that were in the film, the movie Resident Evil, the creatures,
Is that what they're called? They
actually made 2 full scale creatures for people to walk around in. So they actually had people in those suits, and one was more detailed than the other to be able to do more movements, and the jaw and lips could open and the tongue could extend. So the other was for wider shots where the whole body was seen. So I thought that was really interesting that they still did some practical effects, even though a lot of the effects were computer generated in some ways.
I mean, we found horror practical effects just have no substitute.
Yeah.
You know, and it's getting closer and closer with digital effects, but you go to practical and there's a feel, you know.
A feel for something that's actually real. Yeah. I found another unique thing about this whole movie, Resident Evil, is the connections to Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
You have the main character named Alice, the computer named the Red Queen. The Red Queen needs to kill someone who's infected, so she's trying to get someone else to chop off their head. and Alice in Wonderland, there's a paperweight in the film. That's Alice in Wonderland. There's the White Rabbit used to test the T-virus. To enter the hive, they go through a mirrored door, like through the looking glass. The Red Queen also succeeds in cutting off her head, the medic in the laser hallway. And there's a character named Kaplan, and he worries about time, as the White Rabbit does. And also Matt, the character, one of the characters in the game, is sitting on the ledge when Rain and JD hear the first zombie. And it's mentioned as a reference to the caterpillar.
Okay.
So there's all these different references to Alice in Wonderland and how it plays a part in the movie.
Yeah.
Another Alice in Wonderland reference is the fact that Alice wakes up in a bathroom and she's lying next to a chest-formed floor.
Oh, yeah, the floor of it.
The floor of the mansion. And this implies that Alice is right there at the beginning of her journey, like a pawn at the beginning of a chess game.
Yeah.
And it truly is that way through the whole movie franchise, is that even with this final film, the final chapter, there's a lot of strategy to these films, to where they've blended it and drawn out the characters. You get the main villain of Wesker, and originally you think that he's just one guy, and then they clone him.
Yeah. Great video game. You gotta clone people.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really found this, the movie and the video game, to coincide really well.
Yeah.
And a lot of fun, a lot of action, and you get a lot of thrill from different scenes in the movie that remind you of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as a fan of the game, I can't look at the movies in any other way. There's so much fan service to the games, but it's seamless. The movie isn't sacrificed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie plays its own cues as well. So
yeah, so
I enjoy them. I can't believe there are six of them though. Like, I clearly have missed a couple. But it's one of those, like a Rocky movie. There's, you can make as many of them as you want. They're all going to be enjoyable because it's such a core story that they go off of. So,
yeah. I noticed one last little tidbit here, that the body count was 88.
For the first movie?
Yeah. Nice. And that Paul Anderson had hired these two composers, Marco Beltrami and Marilyn Manson, because he wanted something edgier. Kind of what may have appeared in John Carpenter's early films.
Yeah.
Such as Escape from New York, The Thing.
Yeah.
There are several others that I can't really think of.
Yeah. I mean, Manson definitely brings an edge to it.
So that's what I'd like to do now.
Yeah.
Is be able to bring out some cues from the Resident Evil 6 game. The suite I have is going to be consisting of the main theme, Through the Fatal Gas, Requiem theme, and then Results Ada. And so these are parts of the Resident Evil 6 game.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts regarding that game?
You know, the first couple of games, the music was kind of built for during gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're pulling out tracks from the sixth game, which is much more cinematic. There's a lot of video cutscenes, and all of these are from those cutscenes. So six just has better, I don't want to say better music, but it's something you could listen to.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the original, which is just endless loop music.
Yeah.
So kind of a reason why we're playing music from six and not one, because nobody wants to just listen to music from one.
No.
So.
All right, so let's play that. We'll be right back. So in this last part of this cue, what I'd like to do is separate it with two cues. I've got music from the Resident Evil movie by Marilyn Manson. So I've got three specific tracks that I'd like to play for that. It would be the prologue and main theme, which is great. And then you have Cleansing, and then you have the Mansion Reunion. So those three will play now.
We're all gonna die down here.
No, we're getting out. All of us.
The last three cues I have is a special surprise. Actually, it's four. We have music from the final chapter, Resident Evil movie.
Six. Resident Evil 6.
Yep. And it is consisting of This Is My Story, the Turbine Sequence, Laser Corridor Revisited, and finally, The Run to the Crater. And so these pieces of music really tie up kind of some loose ends, and you get even a little bit of Mila Jovovich talking at the beginning of This Is My Story. It really kind of gives you the finality to the series.
And I should say, these are Paul Hasslinger.
Yes. Here. Paul Hasslinger has done music for Underworld and
Shoot 'em Up.
Yeah. Yep. Many Shoot 'em Up movies and more darker films.
He does Fear the Walking Dead,
yeah,
the TV show, and he does a ton of video games.
He's really well known for his film scores and, you know, for video game scores, and he's a very excellent composer. So that's concluding our episode today. And what we can look forward to next time is I'll be having Eric Woods on my show once again with Cinematic Sound Radio. And we will be discussing Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I want to thank you all for tuning in to this special episode. And enjoy and happy listening.
My name is Alice, and this is my story. The end. My story, of my story, of my story, of my story.
Thank you for listening to Soundtrack Alley, the podcast. I hope you take some time to review my podcast on iTunes and also listen to it on Podbean. And if you leave a review or rating on there, it'll help us get noticed on iTunes. Thank you so much. Have a good day. Thank you for listening to Soundtrack Alley Spotlight. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review the show. Also, if you want to leave a comment, question, or concern, please email me at soundtrackalley@gmail.com and enjoy looking at my blog at soundtrackalley.com.